Well, I'm going to walk back and forth here. Let me make sure my horse is calmed down. He's checking everybody out because I want to minister a message that the Lord has given me. And I believe that it's a message that we desperately need in these times. How many would agree with me that we need some hope? I mean, we need hope today. Amen? I mean, hope in knowing that our God loves us no matter what. Hope that we can have in the midst of trials and tribulations. Because listen to me, hope is our only thing that will continue to cause us to remain in Jesus' name. I mean, we could give up. We can cause life to be so tough that it gets us down. I know people are antsy and things are happening, but I want you to know right now that God loves us so much that he actually has given us the keys to the kingdom, this Bible. All y'all that are watching or on live Facebook, it's an honor to have you, but listen, you need to know that you can remain in hope in everything in your life. You don't have to get into fear. How many of you guys here know that God didn't give us a spirit of fear? He gave us a spirit of power. When you understand that word power, it's a Greek word called dunamis, power. And my church knows this, but if you have never heard me say this, this is what the word says, because that word dunamis is the very same power that God had when he raised Jesus from the dead. You and I have that power if Jesus is the Lord of your life. But we desperately need to understand that he didn't give us fear, but he did give us some understanding that we are in the end times. I believe this is the last of the last days. And now, listen to me, that's not to scare people off. It ought to give you some faith and hope that we don't have to remain in this kind of trials and tribulations all of our lives. Matter of fact, there are some people that think we're in the midst of the rapture. We're in the midst of tribulation before the rapture. Well, I don't agree with that, because, man, it's going to be a whole lot worse than this. I'm kind of one of those people that I'm going to get called up on the first load. How about y'all? I want to wait for another bad 3.5 years before we leave. But see, that's not my message this morning. But what I want to do this morning is give you some hope that we can continue on and remain strong even in the times that we're living in right now. Who would have thought that we wouldn't be able to go to this church building? Who would have thought that all our restaurants would have been shut down? Who would have thought that we couldn't even go get a haircut right now? Who would have thought that we'd have had to maintain what they call social distancing and not be able to hug someone's neck? You see, I believe that this sign of the times is designed to get people down, to put them in despair, to cause them not to have the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. He wants us to remain in fear. And all of us need to understand that our God is mightier than that. Say amen to that, y'all. Listen to me. In Romans chapter 5, and most of you have a Bible, so I just want you to get it out if you do. Turn on your phone if you've got any service. And I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5. I want to show you some things real fast, and I'm not going to keep us long in our cars, but I want to deliver a message just of hope. We need hope today. The very first scripture, the verse of this passage in Romans chapter 5 says this, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith," and a lot of these words we're going to explain to you here in just a second, "that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice, there's this word again, in hope of the glory of God. It goes on to say in verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. How many of you know that's what we're really in? Some trials. We're in some times right now that maybe we don't like. Look what it says though. Also knowing that tribulation, it works patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. If you have a Bible, underline that. And here's verse 5. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now I want to stop right there, because I want you to see just a few things right here in these verses. You notice in verse 1 it began to talk about justified, how we're justified by faith. When you study out this word justified, let me explain to you really what it means. Justified. When you study it out, knowing that you and I are justified by faith, it simply means that we're acquitted. You and I are declared righteous and given a right standing with God. I don't know about you, but I think that's so important in the kingdom of God, that you know you're declared righteous. Here's what that means. God is not constantly telling all of us that we're guilty. No, it's like Judge Stout. When she says you're acquitted, that is yes and amen. You are acquitted. You are justified by faith. And you and I need to know that, because that's a benefit of the word hope. You and I need hope today. So the first thing we need to realize is that we're justified. You and I are acquitted and declared righteous and given a right standing with God. It means that God's not holding your sin against you. Most of you know that come to this church. Man, I have quite a testimony, because college was a time where I had an opportunity to not live for God. And for 2 years, I didn't. I did everything that was against what mom and dad had taught me. The party was at my house. I mean, after the 2 years, of course, I was ashamed. I couldn't believe, why in the world would I do that? I know better. But here's the greatest thing that I finally learned about being in Christ Jesus, is that I was justified. I was declared righteous. I was given a right standing with God. I mean, I think that's important for all of us to understand and know, that you're not held captive by your past. No, the Bible says that we're to forget those things that are behind us and press forward to the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Come on, someone clap. Give me a honk and see if my horse is ready for it. Amen. That's good. He did good. Let me show you this second thing, though, that I saw here in these first five scriptures of Romans chapter 5. The benefits of hope. Again, the first one was that we're justified by faith. You and I thank God for justification. But the second thing that I saw is this word grace. You see that in verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Right where you're at, say that word grace with me. Say grace. Because we need grace. You know what grace means? It's the state of God's favor. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that we don't have to live by the laws anymore like the Old Testament. I thank you, Lord, that I say this to him, Lord, I thank you that I don't have to live by rules and regulations, that I can freely give my life to the Lord and then just serve Him with my heart. If I make a mistake, thank God that I'm justified and I have the grace of God. Ladies and gentlemen, in these trying times, we need grace more than anything. But look at number three. The third thing I saw about the benefits of this word hope, hope, we need hope today, is that we can be full of joy. I don't know about you, but there's been an awesome opportunity to not have much joy in my life. I mean, the stress of having such a large, successful church, the pressures of how we're going to pay our employees, the pressures of not being able to go and touch someone and lay hands on them like Mark chapter 16 says. I can't go and counsel with people unless there's a little separation. I mean, even at home, we're thinking about washing our hands for 20 seconds. How many of you have conquered that 20-second happy birthday rule? That's not easy for a cowboy. I mean, I want to get it done and wash them and go. We got to go. But I'm then reminded, oh, no, get your hands back in there. Don't touch your face. All these things. And think about this. What about the president and all his cabinet and the stress and pressures that they're going through? How about the governor of New York or the governor of Louisiana that are having to deal with so much tribulation right now? I don't know about y'all, but we need joy. We need the joy of the Lord. I'm reminded of James chapter 1, how the Bible says when you lack wisdom and you lack these kind of things, you can just ask for it. And man, he'll give you that wisdom. He'll give you that joy. The joy that Nehemiah talked about. The joy of the Lord that produces your strength. Because I'm telling you, and I have counseled this with so many people, when you lose your joy, you lose your strength. And I believe the devil in this virus is trying to cause people to lose joy. But God's saying this morning, don't lose that joy. You need to be full of it. When someone sees you or someone's having a hard time with getting groceries even, we need to remain in joy. When we go up to pay for our groceries, we need to be thanking those people that are getting harassed. They're getting coughed on purpose. You know, that's not how Christians are, though. Christians are people that remain in joy. Everybody say that as loud as you can. Joy. Here's the fourth thing that I saw, which are the benefits of hope. Hope produces, you see it in verse 3, tribulations is where we need this hope. It produces a word called patience. How many of us need patience today? I mean, we should all be, that's me, brother. I need it bad. Because it seems like right now we don't have a lot of patience for anything. I mean, how many of you are enjoying teaching your children when you never have? I don't see any hands. Now, my children are homeschooled, so we're kind of used to it. But not people that are used to working and having their children taught at school. How about all you teachers? I know there's a lot of teachers here and council members and so on. What about the stress in your life? Teachers trying to figure out, you don't know how to act when you don't have students in front of you. And then, of course, all of us parents, man, it's easy to lose patience right now. But what God is saying is right in the middle of this tribulation, of these trials in our life, we are to start causing patience to be a virtue of our life. Patience. Here's number five. You notice in verse 3 it says, and knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience endurance. I know it has this word experience, but really the word experience is just endurance, that we can last. We don't have to give up. I don't know about y'all, but I teach my children that we're not people that gives up. We're going to continue on no matter what. We're not going to fall away. There might be people that are just downright lonely right now. And if that's you, I'm saying to gird yourself up. Get up and begin to know who you are in Christ Jesus. To begin to know that you are not a quitter. Maybe you can't go to the hospital and tend to some medical needs right now because of the fear of getting this virus. I mean, I don't know what it is, but one thing we have to remain in is we are not quitters. We're not quitters on God, and He's not quitters on us. He loves us no matter what. Endurance is something that you and I need today. And if we have endurance, then that's going to cause us to remain in hope. We need hope today. But we don't need to quit. We don't need to slack off from our desire to remain. We need to continue to press forward, to build people up and not tear them down, to cause our families to get hooked into Christ Jesus. We are not giving up on God, because He will not give up on us. Amen? Come on. He's not giving up. But here's the last thing that I want to leave you with. And I think it's maybe possibly one of the most important things. And it's a habit. A habit of joyful and confident hope in eternal salvation. We need that today, guys. We need to know that no matter what happens, if these clouds separate right now, y'all remember the Bible says that when Jesus comes back, the clouds will separate and Jesus will appear, and all of the dead in Christ will be raised, and then all of us that the Bible calls elect will be called up to meet Jesus in the air. We need to have some hope in our salvation. We need to have confidence that, yeah, I believe that this is going to cause revival to come to our land, because we've never, ever experienced what we're experiencing today. Well, you need to have hope in your salvation. Not in your faults, not in all the stuff that's maybe not been pleasing to the Lord once upon a time or this morning. No, we need to have confidence of who we are in Christ Jesus. We need to know that God loves us no matter what. He is for us and not against us. We can do all things through Him that then gives us strength. We're more than a conqueror through God, because He loves us. We are the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. We are someone in Christ Jesus. That's why we're here. We're not here in the name of a church. We're not here in the name of a preacher. We're here in the name that's above every name, that the Bible says one day every knee will bow, here on earth, up in heaven, and even in hell. One day all of humanity will call Jesus Lord. The key is doing it now, not waiting for another trial or tribulation. No, having this confident, joyful attitude all of the time. And ladies and gentlemen, that is only found in Christ Jesus. It's not found in any other thing. It's found in the Lord Jesus. So the question this morning is, do you know Him? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Because if He's not, He will be today. And I declare that in Jesus' name. And if you're saved, you need to agree. Honk your horn or something. Amen. Now, I'm confident in this horse not bucking me off now. Amen. But how about having that confidence in Jesus? The one that we can call to anytime. He said, no, I'll take that burden from you. You can cast every care upon me, Jesus says. So the key this morning is He the Lord of your life? Because if He's not, you're not going to have any hope. And we desperately need hope today. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know, and I agree with this prophecy. It was a book that was written in 1981. You need to go find it. That said in 2019 to 2020, there would be a virus that came from China. This is in 1981. And that it would come, but it would leave as fast as it came. And that's what I agree. I believe that this virus will leave just as fast as it came. And we're going to get back to living our lives the way we need to live them. I also believe that this is a wake-up call for a lot of people, that we need to wake up. We need to begin to serve God like we've never served Him before. I'm not saying you won't make mistakes. I'm just saying that it's time to start serving our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that sent His Son to die for you and for me. You see, He loves you so much. He don't hold anything against you. All He's wanting to do right now is for you to surrender every part of your life to Him. He's wanting you to wake up and say, yeah, maybe I haven't spent a lot of time in prayer. How many of you know, I've always said when you talk to God, you talk to Him just like you talk to your friends, just leave out the cuss words. You just talk to Him and say, Father, I need You. Father, I love You. You see, if we understand that God just loves us, that then gives us hope. But we need that confidence in our salvation. So again, are you saved? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If He's not, I want to introduce Him to you right now. Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You know, the peace that passes the understanding. He's the true joy, not a temporary happiness. I'm talking about joy that remains forever. That eternal salvation. He's the one that loves you even when you don't feel loved. He's the one that would spend time with you. Even when you're feeling lonely. He's just simply the one that loves all of us so much that He freely gave His life for us. How many of you know that Jesus did not have to die for us? He could have said it's just too much pain. But He didn't. He said, no, Father, it's not my will be done, but Thy will be done. And He freely gave His life for all of us. So I'm asking you this morning, I would ask you to give your life freely to Him. You might be saying, how do you do that, preacher? Well, I love Romans 10 verse 9. Here's what it says. It uses in the King James this word called thou. If thou shalt confess, that's with your mouth, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, Here's this word, thou. And who is thou? All of us. Thou shalt be saved. Well, saved from what? Well, hell. That's a good start. Honk your horn for that one. I mean, you don't want to go there, because it's hot in hell. Woo! Hotter than Pecos on the 4th of July. I've been there. No, you're saved from a place called hell, but understanding that you can have heaven here. Let's pray the prayer that all my Catholic friends know. Say it with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, we can continue on because we know the rest of it, but his will is that we do things here on earth like heaven. That's to have patience. That's to have joy. That's to have endurance. That's to remain confident in your salvation. So if you don't know Jesus and you've never confessed that prayer that we just prayed, confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, I want you to do that right now. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I want you to make Jesus the Lord of your life right now by praying this prayer. Because it's time. It's time. All you that are watching right now, it's time. It's time that we start telling our friends about Jesus. It's time that we're not ashamed of the gospel anymore. It's time that we see loved ones come to know this Savior that gives the true hope and the true peace. Because it's not going to be found in a bottle. It's not going to be found in any other pill. It's only going to be found in the Lord Jesus. So is He your Lord? Is He your Savior? If He's not, I want Him to be right now. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer. All of these people that are here that are born again are going to pray this prayer with us. And you right at home, even if you're saved, I want you to pray this prayer. But I realize there's probably going to be someone in their vehicles, someone watching right now, that does not know what would happen to them if they died and left this earth. You don't know if you'd go to heaven or you would go to a place called hell, because they're both real and they're both places. The point is Jesus your Lord? Because let me tell you real fast what happens when you leave this earth and you die. You're going to stand before God. He's going to say one of two things. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, you have said, Jesus, come into my life and save me. When you stand before God, God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on in and enter the hope, the joy, the rest of the Lord, heaven. You see, that's why I'm on horseback right now. That's why we're having to do a service with cars parked everywhere and maintaining 6 feet distance. I want people to go to heaven and not hell. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to pray. I want you to pray this prayer. If you have asked Jesus to come into your life, I also want you to pray right where you're at. All of us will just pray this prayer together. But you might be close to someone that hears you praying with them to ask Jesus to come into their lives. But also, the reason I have saved people pray this prayer is so that you'll learn it and you can lead others to Jesus that wouldn't even come and sit in the back of their truck or roll down their windows of their car. And you'll learn it to be able to lead them to Jesus. Amen? And so, I want you to remove your hat if you have one on. And I want you to bow your head. And I want us to pray and ask Jesus to come into our lives if we never have. And if we have, we're going to confess this prayer with someone close to us maybe that never have given their lives to the Lord. And we're just going to pray it with them, and we're also going to learn it. Amen? Let's pray it just like this. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, pray this prayer. in Jesus' name. You ready? Out of your mouth, and let's all say it where we can hear it. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Thank you, Jesus, for being raised from the dead, and you're seated at the right hand of the Father, praying for me. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord, for being my Savior. And when I leave this earth, I'm coming to heaven and not hell. Help me while I live here to learn about you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you agree with that, why don't you honk your horn or shout or clap your hands? Amen. Woo, Jesus. Listen to me. I realize in church I have them raise their hand if they just gave their lives to Jesus. But what I want you to do is if you just gave your life to the Lord and you prayed that prayer for the very first time and you meant it, I want you to tell someone. I don't want you to be ashamed. I want you to be able to tell them that you gave your life to Jesus. And here's why I say that. In the midst of this trial and this coronavirus epidemic, it's very important that we acknowledge that Jesus is the Lord of our life. The Bible says if we acknowledge Jesus before men, He'll acknowledge us before the Father. Don't ever be ashamed. And I know people serve Him differently. I'm sure there's all denominations represented here. Maybe you just gave your life for the first time. Maybe you've never gone to church because you didn't like all the religious junk that happens at churches. Well, listen to me. It's time to get over all that stuff and just start serving Him with your heart. And all of you that just gave your life to Jesus, you're now saved. And all of you that are already saved, it's time to move a little higher up in your knowledge of Christ Jesus, like Ephesians says. Amen? I'm thankful that y'all came this morning. It's a privilege. All of you that are watching live or on our internet, thank you so much for being a part. I hope you'll write a little note to us just saying that you were here, you agreed, you got saved or whatever. But I'm going to close us and dismiss us. And when we leave here, we're going to be reminded that Tuesday we're going to do a Bible study. And I know there'll only be 10 people here, but we're going to still do Bible study. And then next Sunday, we're all going to get our friends to get in their cars, and they're going to come here. I know people that have driven 2 hours just to be at this service today. So you come and experience the Lord Jesus with us, because that's what we're going to do. And as you guys all leave right now, it's an honor that the Bible says that Jesus never leaves us or forsakes us. So He gets to go with us right now. And when you leave the gates of this ranch, I want you to be reminded all the time that God is always with you. He's always for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you have a good time this morning? Thank you so much for being here. We love you. Now listen to me, as you got that little pamphlet, if you need prayer right now, I want you to turn on your hazards. And we have some people that will come to your vehicle. They'll stay back, but they'll be able to pray with you right now. And so if anybody needs prayer, I want you to just turn your hazards on. Whatever it might be, we'll send one person over to pray for you. And it'll be an honor to do that. The rest of you, as you'll notice driving out, there's ways to give to this church. Thank you for doing it. But listen to me. We always say at this church, if you need help in any way, there's going to be cash that's given in an offering, and we're here to help you. We want to be a church that does what we preach. We want to bless people. We've already had to help people buy groceries or whatever. We're okay with that. If you need help in any way, then you just come to us and we're going to help you. Amen? But thank you so much for being here. in coming this morning. I hope to see you next Sunday. Amen? Let's pray. And as I say amen, I want to hear some honking and hallelujahs. Amen? Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for just another opportunity to be in the presence of a good, wonderful God. Father, thank you, Lord, that so many people came and they didn't stay at home secluded, but they came even with rules of social distancing. That's all fine and well, sir, right now, because we don't want this virus to spread. We want people protected, but we also know that we do not live in fear. We live in hope. We live in grace. We live in patience. We live in endurance. And we live in the confident, joyful hope of our eternal salvation. So, Father, thank you, Lord, for all these people that came. Bless them as they leave. Bless them as they go back to their homes and still spend time with their families. But cause them to get this message on the inside of them. Hope, hope, and hope only comes from you, sir. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Love you. Amen.